Good morning, church. It's a pleasure to be here with you again this morning in the house of God. And just encouraging the worship, the time singing up here as youth was just real encouragement to me. Just thinking about breathing the air of heaven someday, like how we long to breathe the air of heaven. And I just had to think, like, can we breathe the air of heaven here, even before we get to heaven? Just a random thought, like, as we enter into the everlasting life that Jesus bought for us on the cross, like, we can enter into that to some level here. And so this morning, there's just, I feel like God has placed a burden on my heart. And so I want to get into that some, but maybe before getting into the message a little bit, just want to express my appreciation to the body here. It's been like just over 4 months now since I've been back from Mexico, and it's been good to try to plug back in, be a part of body life here. And I've just really appreciated your support. I felt very, very cared for and supported, and it's been my heart to plug in as much as I can. And I recognize that I've been busy running here and there and everywhere and have not been able to plug in as much as I would desire. And so, there's some, I would definitely long to be able to plug in more, to be, so that's, I just want you as a body to know that my heart is here in this time. And obviously, the biggest thing right now is getting married and just everything with that, planning the wedding. It's been super exciting. God's been so good, so faithful. And just excited about celebrating that day with you. 105 days from now. And hopefully everybody got invitations, and if you didn't, say something, but the whole church is invited. Everyone, it's an open wedding. Anybody, everyone's welcome. So if you're not sure, then come. So this morning I'd like to go to Psalm 118. I feel like God placed this psalm on my heart to share out of, and we'll be looking at different scripture here this morning. But if you could give a title to my message, I wasn't sure, maybe like faith in the fire or triumph in the testing. God was really putting on my heart the theme of faith, the challenge of having faith in the testing. I feel like it's been something, it's an area that I have been wrestling in. And just here this morning, I just really felt a burden for the church to rise up on wings of faith. Like, just looking around the congregation this morning, like, do we really believe that we're the bride of Christ? Are we really walking in faith despite the trials? In the trials, are we, where is our faith? Hebrews chapter 4 or 5 talks about exhort one another daily, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Like, we need, as a church, we're called to stir each other up to faith. So my prayer this morning is that we would be stirred up in faith this morning in a God of the impossible, a God that's sovereign over us, a God that's sovereign in the trials we're walking through, and who is not, a God who's very aware of every trial we're facing, who has given those trials to us, and he is there right with us right now, walking through those trials with us. And so I just want to, I feel like that's the burden God's placed on my heart this morning, is the stirring up of faith in the fire, in the trials that we're facing. So let's go to Psalm 118. This is a psalm, I think David wrote it. It's not totally clear who wrote this psalm, but very likely David, after he became king, after he had victory over Saul and just all the battles, the trials that David faced leading up to that point. But I love this psalm, the way, David just has so much faith and trust in God despite all the hard stuff that he is facing or did face. So we're going to, go down through this psalm and just, see what God has for us here this morning. So Psalm 118, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compassed me about, yea, they compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compassed me about like bees, they are quenched as the fire of thorns, for in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helps me. The Lord is my strength and song, and has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord, into which the righteous shall enter, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Father, this morning we thank you, God, that you are good, that your mercy endureth forever, God. God, I pray that as we look at this scripture this morning, you would stir up faith in our hearts, that you would breathe upon this, God, by your Holy Spirit, and speak to us living word, Father, that you would touch every heart in this place this morning, that you would stir up faith where there's unbelief, God. Speak to each heart here. Speak to my heart, Father. God, we look to you, God, for the message this morning, Father. God, I may have some loaves and fishes, God, but you're the one that multiplies. God, you're the one that speaks to our hearts, Father. So come, Lord Jesus, come, Holy Spirit, Father, and speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. May God stir up faith in our hearts this morning. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. Do we believe that God's mercy endures forever? Amen? Forever and ever. God's mercy endures. We look to the past in our lives and see, has God ever failed us? No. Sometimes it's so easy, to see the trials that I'm walking through right now and just get my eyes off of God. But no, as I look back and see, God's mercy endures forever, and he has never, never failed me, and God never fails his children. Let them that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. Verse 4, I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part. Yeah, I want to stop there. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? Do we really have that perspective? in our trials that if God is on our side, what can man do unto me? Like, how often do we see the circumstances and the people around us and the challenges we're facing, and all we can see is what man can do to us, and all we can see is, yeah, the relationships around us, the people, the challenges, and the fear of man takes over. But here David's saying, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? May God give us that perspective. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. How many times do we say that? Like, I was thinking, like, all nations compassed me about. Oh God, like, what did I do wrong? What's happening? Like, this isn't what I signed up for. Like, when we're in the trial and we see the enemy around us, surrounding us, we see the response of David here, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. Just like that response of faith. And I think in those times, the enemy so wants to come and give us a response of unbelief, and we start to question, God, where did I go wrong? What's happening? God, like, all nations are surrounding me, and like, all these problems are surrounding me. The circumstances are too much for me. Where did I go wrong? Like, God, where did I mess up? Like, but no, it's just simply, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. Like, yeah, the circumstances look impossible, but we serve a God of the impossible. They compass me about, yea, they compass me about, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They compass me about like bees. Imagine just a swarm of bees just coming around. It's terrifying if you've ever experienced it. But no, they are quenched as the fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. I want to look at Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 18 to 20 here. These are some of my favorite verses that God gave me a few years ago. And this very much fits with these verses here when Nehemiah was building the wall with the people, had gone back, and God had given him that burden to build the wall. And they were working on it, and then the enemy came and surrounded them. And yeah, it looked like an impossible situation where they were getting assaulted by the enemies and attacked, and there was, yeah, like, it very, like, in the natural looked like it made it impossible to continue building this wall. Nehemiah 2, 18 to 20. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. Nehemiah told the people about, God's favor on him, and the people said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that you do? Will ye rebel against the king? Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build, but ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. In the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. Like, yeah, like, enemies come, but the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we're going to trust him. We're not going to get our eyes on the enemies around us. And just that confidence, we see Nehemiah walking out in here. The God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, it doesn't matter how impossible it looks in the natural, we, his servants, will arise and build. And the enemy has no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. In the midst of the trial, in the midst of the attack coming from the enemy, he has no right, no portion in our lives, not even a memorial. I love that, how it's like not even... Yeah, when it's all said and done, the enemy is not going to even have one memorial to remember, like, ha, I got this. But no, it's like, we're God's children. He's called us, he's claimed us as his, and in the end, the enemy will be entirely defeated. I love 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." God's the one who called us. He will do it. He will do the work in our lives. It's him that we're trusting in. Continue here in Psalm 118, verse 13. "Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death." These verses really jumped out at me last night, that he says, the Lord hath chastened me sore, the discipline of God. But he says, God did not give me over unto death. So I'd like to look a little bit at Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews 12, verses 5 to 15. What does it look like when God chastens us? And do we understand that God disciplines the children that he loves? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth." Do we want to be loved by God? And scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Do we want to be God's children? Do we want to forfeit the chastening and scourging of God? If we do, we're not his children. It says, "If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness." Do we want to be partakers of his holiness? Do we want God to chasten us for our profit? God knows exactly the trials that we need to bring us in, to draw us closer to him, for our profit, for what is actually best for us. "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." It seems like there's two different options, like in the chastening of God. If we allow God to have his way in that, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. It's hard, but that is the fruit. When we give ourselves over to that, do we want that peaceable fruit of righteousness in our lives? Or, at the end, it says, "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." I think the other outcome to God's discipline is bitterness. If we don't allow God to have his way in our lives, and we buck against that, and we allow ourselves to become bitter towards God. And I've seen that this happen so many times where, yeah, God is working in people's lives to draw them closer to him, and they turn bitter towards him. So may we allow God's pruning, God's disciplining in our lives to produce that peaceable fruit of righteousness. May we surrender ourselves to that and not allow any root of bitterness in our lives. And maybe we feel that, like maybe we feel like this temptation for like a root of bitterness towards God, like, God, but this isn't fair. Like, we feel that wrestling, and yeah, like, I just challenge us to give that to God and ask God to take that, because this is real. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Can we see the goodness of God in his disciplining and allow it to produce that fruit of righteousness? If we don't, it's not going to produce that. So back to Psalm 118, I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. And that's the promise that we have from God. He's not going to ultimately give us over unto death. It doesn't matter how hard, how difficult the chastening can seem. And we see Job as an example of, he got pretty much as close to being given over to death as a person can get. Just everything taken from him, his health taken from him. And his wife's just like, curse God and die. But God did not give him over unto death. And in the end, God fully restored Job. And how much more is God going to fully restore us someday? It's partly now and partly in eternity. And we have that hope that God isn't going to fully give us over into death. And he's doing a beautiful work in our lives in the chastening. So can we see that? And can we, instead of allowing any root of bitterness to spring up in our lives, can we bless God? Like, I love the song, Sovereign Over Us, a song of blessing God, that he's working for our good, for his glory, in the midst of the suffering. And I want to go on here in verse 19 here in Psalm 118. Kind of turns to praise. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord unto which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for you have heard me and are become my salvation. That we can, yeah, as we trust God in the trials and we choose to praise him, we can enter into that gate of righteousness and praise the Lord and see his goodness. And I believe it's in that place that God shows us more of his goodness in the trials he's giving us. The intimacy that produces with God as we submit ourselves to the chastening. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We will rejoice in this day that the Lord hath made, no matter how dark it may seem, no matter how terrible the trials we're facing may seem. Can we rejoice in this day that the Lord has made? Be glad in it. It's easy to do that when everything's going well. But yeah, in the midst of the trial, God has made every day, and he is, yeah, working for our good, no matter what we're facing. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee. Send now prosperity. And even in that, we can cry out to God and cry out for God's deliverance in the trials we're facing. God longs to hear us cry out to him. He longs to hear that. And he's waiting to deliver us in his timing. But there's nothing wrong with crying out for deliverance in the trials. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. I love this verse here. God is the Lord, which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. And I don't know exactly when David wrote this psalm, like, what exactly he had in mind with binding the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. But I think today see that God has called us to be living sacrifice for him. We are the sacrifice. God is the Lord which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. As we've seen God and we've seen his goodness, can we say, God, make me your living sacrifice. Bind me to your altar. I thought of a quote by Jim Elliot that just really challenged me. And if this was years ago when I read the book Shadow of the Almighty, about the journals of Jim Elliot, I would definitely recommend that book. It was maybe the book that changed my life more than any other. But he says, Father, take my life, yea, my blood, if thou wilt, and consume it with thine enveloping fire. I would not save it, for it is not mine to save. Have it, Lord. Have it all. Pour out my life as an oblation for the world. Blood is only of value as it flows before thine altar. Just, Jim Elliot had seen God. He had seen the light of God. And in that, he was like, God, make me your sacrifice. Like, God, I want to be your sacrifice. And we see, the story of Jim Elliot, he did literally die and was martyred for his faith. And it's just a huge challenge. But can we be living sacrifices? Can we say every day, God, bind me to your altar? May my life be a living sacrifice for you. And I think in thinking about having faith in the trial, I don't really think it's possible to have faith if we're not willing to be that sacrifice. If we're not praying this, I don't think we are going to be able to walk in faith. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5 talks about the fruits of the Spirit. It talks about faith. And verse 24, they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. It's those who have crucified the flesh who are able to experience the fruit of the Spirit. So can we come to God in the trials and say, God, bind me to your altar and trust him in that? Let me see here. The last verse here. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Finishes pretty much the same way it starts, that giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Ultimately, it doesn't matter what we're facing, because God is good, and his mercy endures forever. We come back to that. Thinking about, faith in the fire, I'd like to go a little bit more, go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Just see more of the purpose of God in the trials that he's bringing us. Let's read 1 Peter verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith. We are kept by the power of God through faith. I think that's why the whole thing in Hebrews talks about the being careful unless a root of bitterness or unbelief spring up in our hearts. It's like unbelief is the biggest threat to our faith, because unless God keeps us through faith, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Are we willing for our faith to be tried with fire? You know, yeah. Ultimately, we'll either turn bitter towards God and fall away, or we'll allow it to produce that peaceable fruit of righteousness in our lives, and God will give us so much more faith than we ever dreamed even possible. Even in the midst of this season of heaviness and manifold temptations, I think so many times we don't have, especially here in the West where we've got things so good and things are just so easy and economy's so good and church life is so good, and we get confused and we're like, what are these manifold temptations we're facing? Like, what's happening? It's like, no, like, God is producing good fruit in our lives. And we should expect that. Like, this is going on to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. It's like, don't think it strange. How many times do we think it's strange? We're like, we get confused and God, what's going on? What's happening? Like, my enemies are you know, coming around me. Like, what's wrong? And it's like, no, like going back to Psalm 118 there, he's like, no, like, in the name of the Lord, I will defeat them. Like, he just like comes back to God and just, you know, trusts in him right in the trial. And not being surprised or thrown off course because of the temptations that God brings our way, the trial, the testing. Like to go to Ephesians chapter 6 and look here at the armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6 verses 10 to 19. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. It says, above all, in the list of the armor here, above all, taking the shield of faith. This is the most important thing here. It's like if we let our shield of faith down, we start believing the enemy's lies, it's all going to fall apart. Wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. I love the part too, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. I think it's also tied together, but I don't think we'll be able to continue to hold up that shield of faith without that prayer life. James chapter 5, verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. It's like, are we afflicted in the trials we're facing? He's like, pray, pray. Like, yeah, Satan's trying to attack our faith, trying to take us down. Like, yeah, hold up that shield of faith and pray. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Like, that's, yeah. If we're not doing that and we're wrestling with faith, with unbelief and struggling to have faith, I don't think we can expect anything different if we're not praying, praying in the Spirit, praying, coming to God and bringing our afflictions to Him. So that's most of what I had here this morning. Just the challenge to not allow any root of bitterness or unbelief to spring up in our hearts. I feel like I need this message right now, probably more than any of you do. And I feel like just really felt like God really was just pressing it on my heart this morning. Just that lack of faith and unbelief is maybe like the biggest threat to the church right now. Because we've seen God work in mighty ways, and yet we can, as when God brings trials then to our lives, and we start seeing, okay, this isn't going to just be easy, and it's so easy to fall from faith and to start to become bitter, and we see so many people falling away because of that. And so it's just a challenge to hold on, continue to walk in faith, continue to press in prayer in the Spirit and challenge, exhort one another daily, like not allow ourselves to fall from faith. Because if we do, this is very, very real. I think, what can happen is we can just begin to kind of just go through the motions. Like, it's probably not going to be obvious that we're just going to totally fall away, but there can be this like underlying unbelief in our hearts that it just totally cuts the power of Christ in our lives. And the world sees that. We totally lose our testimony. We totally lose, our potential to, impact the world with God's kingdom when we're walking in unbelief. So, I don't know exactly what God's saying to each of us here this morning, but just challenge us to, look at our lives and see where, if there are ways that we've fallen from faith, and repent of that and ask God to give us that, to give us His faith, remembering that it is a fruit of the Spirit. It's not something we can stir up. It's not something we can just have more faith, but it's a gift of the Spirit that as we surrender to Him, as we die to self, as we allow ourselves to be that living sacrifice, that God will give us faith, and more faith than we could ever even imagine, I believe, because our eyes will be turned to God and seeing that He is a God of the impossible, and we'll, God can just do such a work of faith in our hearts. So that's my prayer for myself and for each one of us here this morning. So, God bless you all. Thanks for listening.